As some of you may know, and I didn't talk a whole lot about it, but kind of word was going around. I was out of the office on Friday because I traveled down to Baltimore to help bury one of my friends who lived down in the Baltimore area. There was a ton of people there, and there was a large kind of contingent of the kind of burner community that I associate with, a lot of folks whom I know down there. And it was the first, it was a Jewish funeral, it was in a Jewish synagogue, and it was the first one that I'd ever attended. And I was kind of curious as to what the liturgy would look like, what the pace of it would be, how it would kind of unfold. And it was, there were some things that were really similar and some things that were really different from our tradition. And I couldn't help but find myself appreciating things that they did that I wish we did more of here, like in the way in which the whole community kind of gathers to actually take part in burying their loved one. And then there were other ways in which I was really thankful for the way in which we do and have our memorial services. And part of that is in the way in which we really, at least in the Episcopal tradition, focus a lot on the idea of the hope of resurrection and of new life. The funeral service that we hold in our tradition is one of resurrection and celebration that holds in tension the grief and the difficulty of the moment with the comfort and the hope of what is to come. I talk a lot about God's love for us and God's call of us in this world, an invitation of us to go into this world, that we might join in with what God is already doing there. Something that I realize I don't talk as much about, and I want to focus on today, is this idea of the comforting nature, the caring nature of our God. Because in the midst of the ways in which I hope we can kind of connect with God's love for us as we are, and the invitation that we have to go on into the world and to follow what God has prepared for us in this world to do. For anyone that is in here that is weighed down, that is suffering, that is in need. For those of you on our prayer list that we pray for week in and week out. You are not forgotten. And life in this church is more than going out. I like to focus on the going out and what we participate in because I think that is something we can all do no matter what stage or place in life we are in. But I don't ever want us to also lose the fact that our God is one who comforts and cares for us, who is there with us in the darkest and most difficult of times, and who calls to us that we might have hope and that we might know life, that we might know joy. My friend Jason was the first person, I think, my age, that I had to bury. And so I've been dealing with a lot of kind of things this week, which if we can talk about kind of offline, so to speak, if you want. But this idea of the weight of it, the tragedy of it, the sadness that we hold, that we will be missing his light in this world in the decades and years to come. But one of the things that struck me is that it's no less unjust if he would have lived to be 110. Death is not something we were meant to endure or experience in this world. It is incongruous to our nature and to who we are. It's supposed to be devastating because it was never supposed to be lived out. It's the one thing we will all have to experience, and we do not know when that will happen. We do not know how many days we're going to have, but the promise that we do have is that in the midst of this world, which comes with wonderful joy and incredible pain, the promise is that we have a God who is with us, who is a good shepherd, and who calls to us. This life that we live, yes, it's one of service, it's one of grace, it's one of mercy, but almost maybe more than anything else, it's a life where we spend our time and our energy not even our time and our energy, to be honest, but we spend the experience of our life, hopefully, every day learning more and more what that still small voice of God sounds like, feels like. That we spend, that day in and day out, we would be more and more confident of what the call of our Good Shepherd's voice sounds like. And it's something that develops within us. It's something that is learned in some way. It's something that is that grows over time. I'm not necessarily sure it's something that, like, there's any particular, like, right way to figure that out. I think it comes as a part of the lived life of the Christian and the way in which we walk in the steps of Christ. We start to learn and understand more and more of how he calls to us. I grew up in a tradition where me and the people around us in the church talked a lot about God speaking to us. And I know that was always really confusing for people that I knew that either weren't Christians or weren't really a part of the same evangelical or charismatic tradition I came from. I know it was like, I mean, do you hear his voice? Like, what is it? Like, can you describe what it is? And I remember trying to do it over and over again, and I never could. But then, as now, I still am convinced and I believe that God speaks to me. I don't view it as this kind of thing like, go and do this very specific thing. It's different than that. It's just kind of a part. It's a dance within me. It's a give and it's a take. It's an understanding of what brings life and what brings death. What brings joy and what leads to sorrow. What is supporting and encouraging to those I love and those around me and what is not. It is a sense of what is true and right in this world. And I am still learning and I have a long way to go. But one of the great joys I have found in this thing that we're doing together is developing an ear, so to speak, for that. Is learning a little bit more day in and day out. As I mess it up and as I experiment, as I come up short and as I succeed in trying to figure this out, to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd. Who calls to us, calls to you and calls to me, calls to everyone in this world. My entire life has changed as both a minister and as a Christian when I realized that you all and everyone out there are not my responsibility. I spent a lot of my life thinking that it was my job to save you because I knew what was in store for you if you weren't saved, and no one wanted that. And so it was my, and so there was this great weight upon me and the others around me that we just had to get out there and touch as many people as we could and convince them in their heads, right, that they should follow and believe in the things that I believe in. And somewhere along the line, God reminded me that he's actually in control of this world and his church, that God is the one who's responsible for me. God is the one who calls to me and who calls to you. We are responsible for each other in the sense that we are called to care for and to love one another. But one another's kind of ultimate destiny or salvation, I think, is a fairly unhelpful way for us to think of the way we interact and engage one another. When you hear this idea of the voice of the Good Shepherd, I have sheep that are here with me and I have others also who are not yet here who I will call to and bring into the fold, right? The voice of God, the voice of the Good Shepherd is out in this world and it is in this place. It is not reserved solely for this place. It is absolutely out in the world where we spend most of our lives. And as Christians, we are invited to hear, to tune into that, and to let it guide us to where we might go and where God might have us. Our job, you know, what we are called to do vis-a-vis the people that we engage with outside of this church is not to convince them of something. Is not to get them to sign on the dotted line or to believe exactly what we believe. Our job is to encourage and to help them hear that voice. To hear the love and the mercy, the grace and the joy of God that lives in this world. Because this world is our God's. The kingdom of God is here and is at hand. That is the promise. That is the declaration of our God and of our Savior. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we get to engage and interact within it. We have the opportunity for it to surround and be a part of our lives and the life of those we love. That is what we invite people into. And we invite them into it not so that they end up ultimately coming to our church, though that's fine too if they want to. I think there are things here that really offer, that we have to offer the people in our community. But not everyone's going to come here. This is a weird and scary place for a lot of people. And they might have had an upbringing or an experience or some negative kind of experience in the church where they might never set foot in this building. But I bet a lot of them engage some of you each and every day. And you have the opportunity to invite them into the love of God. And I think that's the messiness of what we do together. You know, we want it to be real clean, right? We want to have this understanding that God is the good shepherd. He calls, we hear his voice, we follow. There's this flock that is his, there's this flock that isn't his. It's just not that clean. At least in my experience, it's so much more complicated than that. And the strange thing is I have found that to be more life-giving, that realization, the experience of that to be more life-giving than anything I experienced before. Because it allows and invites me to go out and just to kind of play in this world and to see what God is doing and what God has at work. And I've discovered all kinds of weird things that I never would have expected. That my small mind and my fallible theology could never have appreciated on its own. We get to go out every day and experience the love of God. Sometimes it's really hard to tune into that, and sometimes it's really easy. Some of you might be sitting there and thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never experienced anything like that. That's okay. Unfortunately, I can't, you know, it's not like a radio. I can't just kind of tell you what station to listen to. Because I think it's a little different for all of us. The way in which God touches each and every one of us is a little different. And I guess that's what I want to invite you into here, today and every day. Come to this table, share in the sacrament and in the life, in the worship of this place. Sort out the work of the Holy Spirit and all the nonsense I say, and keep the good. And don't worry, that's biblical. And let's enjoy our time together. I think there is so much that I see in the church that feels heavy and guarded. Like there's this siege mentality of us and them. And there's so much language that is kind of warlike and aggressive. And I understand that. I mean, you can definitely find that language in the scriptures. But when I look at the whole script, right, when we look at the whole story, when we look at what God is doing in this world, it's not a battle to be won. It's a story to be lived. The battle is finished. The battle is over. It has been won. You don't have to worry about that. Evil does not have dominion over this world. It's certainly present in this world, but it doesn't have the final say. And in the confidence of that, in the hope of that, we are called into new life. We're called into the walk and into the journey of the Christian. We get to experiment and explore that every day, no matter how young or old you might be. We get to share that with the people we interact with. And my hope and my prayer is that it prepares us and makes us ready for the good gifts of what is to come. So if you are in a place today where you are heavy, if you've had a rough week, as I have, if you're confused or bewildered or just frustrated with God, or on the other hand, if you're just doing really well, and that's awesome if you are, wherever you fall in that spectrum, just know that you're not alone. Our God is with you and with us. Our God loves you and calls us and helps teach us how to love one another better. And invites us into what God is already doing in this world so that we can see it and have eyes to see, ears to hear, that we can live in that spirit, live in that love. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I can speak for myself when I say my life has been transformed. And the joy that I get to live in and day out, as hard as it is sometimes, is like nothing else I've ever experienced. And I hope for that for you as well. Because in many ways, the last few years of my life have been harder than they've ever been, but they have been better than they have ever been as well. And at the center of all that is this thing we're doing together. And so, welcome. Welcome to this thing we do. It's an honor and privilege to worship and to serve with you, both this community within and without its walls and our world. Amen.